Hi, this is Patrick Irvin, host of Lessons from the Screen. And because of some personal and technical issues, I won't be able to produce a show for you today. So I decided to give you guys a look back at one of my favorite shows, one of my more favorite shows. And this show was the show that I did on the Independence Day Project by Professor Carl Tone Jones. It is a project that I am affiliated with, full disclosure. I'm actually in it. And I'm still encouraging you all to go check it out. So I hope you enjoy the show, and I look forward to seeing you when I'm able to return back to the recording process.
Lessons from the screen, what we mean is we go through different documentaries to tell you what they gon' do. Give you our lessons, give them our blessings. If they trash, we tell you there is no second guessing. Knowledge is power, but time is precious. And we're here to keep you from them lessons. So sit back as we groove, giving you the review, so you only spend time on the docs that you need to.
Welcome back to another episode of Lessons from the Screen, the show where we give you a review of whether or not a show, a document, a documentary, or anything you can get through any particular screen is worth watching. We waste our time, our energy, and our brain power so that you don't have to. You're welcome. Lessons from the Screen is brought to you by PacSync through the Freedom Train Network. You can find us at www.freedomtrainradio.com or on Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play Music, or wherever you get your podcasts. Be sure to leave us a review. Be sure to leave us a comment. We like comments. We like interactions. And then be sure to head to www.PacSync.org to show some love and support for our sponsors. PacSync is a black activist and advocacy organization focused on developing the black community through a shift in culture, education, and economics. As always, Lessons from the Screen has a frame of reference and perspective that is aligned with that of the black community. So the things we look at will be looked at with the racial component involved and with some lessons that can be used to improve the community. This week on Lessons from the Screen, we will be looking at the Independence Day Project, a documentary film that seeks to change the way black people look at our struggle for equality. It does this by shifting the narrative away from all the problems we face at the hands of white supremacy and plants the narrative directly on the black community and things we can do now to change our situation. The film looks at the 10 areas of human activity and gives us a little something to swallow and ponder on all of them. As usual, we will look at this film, our likes, our dislikes, and its potential impact. In this episode of Lessons from the Screen, we will be looking at the Independence Day Project. So after years of working on this project, this documentary, on 18 February 2018, Professor Carl Tone Jones unveiled the Independence Day Project to the world in its world premiere. He had had a screening before that, but this one was considered the world premiere. Now, the Independence Day Project is essentially a documentary about black liberation in modern times in America. And while it does have several Pan-Africanist speaking and expresses several Pan-Africanist views, the scope of the film is largely centered in the realm of black nationalism. Now, before we move forward, we got to define these terms because I know a lot of you might not be familiar with them. Pan-Africanism can be described or defined as a movement that seeks to unify all peoples of African origin all over the world. Marcus Garvey is a great example of a Pan-Africanist. If you want to Google him, look him up, what he did, things of that nature, you get a pretty good, solid idea of what Pan-Africanism seeks to achieve. Now, black nationalism can be described as a movement in America that seeks to empower black people politically, economically, and socially to resist white supremacy and assimilation and maintain an independent cultural identity. So Malcolm X would be a great example of a black nationalist. It's almost as if you could say we wanted to create a nation within a nation of black people within the overall nation of America. And that would be, in that view, is completely independent of what other culture groups have going on. And that would be an idea of a black nationalist. So the film has more than 15 activists and advocates from all over the country flashing across the screen over the two-hour runtime, which represents a very diverse group of perspectives and thoughts on the subjects in question. And speaking of the subjects in question, the film covers the 9 major areas of human activity according to compensatory logic made popular by in the pro-black community by Dr. Neely Fuller Jr. And those areas are economics, education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, sex, war, and counter-war. That's war slash counter-war. Now, the documentary added a 10th overarching area for culture because you can't talk about all of these things in a vacuum. They exist within a network, or they exist within a context of things, and that overall context is culture. So while and it is important to state that while not all of these subjects were touched on directly, they are all hit on to some degree indirectly, with culture and war taking up the lion's share of the film. Now, the very first thing to say about this film is that this is a radical film on several levels. Some of the commentators make statements that can't be seen as anything but radical. This is not your safe black documentary or film by any stretch of the imagination. However, this is a documentary that makes its radical nature very appealing in a lot of areas. And while it does seem at times to go too far for some people, I'm sure that's going to happen. As a whole, I think that it presents its radical nature in a generally acceptable and understandable way. Now, again, this is not a safe film. This film is going to present context and ideas and content in a way that is going to make some people uncomfortable, is going to make a lot of people afraid. It's not a safe film. I want to reiterate that. But it is a film that I do believe makes the very nature of what it's talking about, especially in these modern times, appealing to the masses that can sit through being presented with information that they may have never heard of or may have never thought about or completely disagree with. It presents the information in an appealing and acceptable way. So the next thing that has to be said is that this is not a historical documentary. Now, while there are a lot of moments where history is talked about, the general scope of the documentary is forward-leaning. It's philosophically focused on getting to a place in the future. So the guests aren't being asked to look back at some past event or to recall major shifts in history. They are being asked to look forward and to provide a vision of what could be possible and to provide a roadmap for how to get there. Now, moving forward, this idea of creating a new black world free of white supremacy as a concept isn't new. Books, articles, satire, comedy videos, the most recently popular one was the Key and Peele Blackland sketch that was popular all over social media and everywhere as part of their Comedy Central sketch comedy show. But this idea of a black world free of white supremacy isn't new. But to my knowledge, this is the first time that we have had a documentary seriously look at how to create it. Not just creating one amazing portion of society where we're thriving in economics or we're thriving in education or this, that, and the third, but an amazing society as a whole for black people. Now, with that being said, you aren't going to find any statistics or figures in this film which points to the philosophical nature of the project as based more on a vision of a future world. And this makes the roadmap given a little blurry, but for some, this is enough. For others, they're going to want those numbers. But for some, they don't need the numbers to see the vision. And they don't need the numbers to see how to get there. But I do want to state that for those of you who are accustomed to a certain type of documentary film, presenting stats, statistics, stats, figures, numbers, things like that, this isn't that. It's not that. I don't think I saw any statistics throughout the entire 2-hour runtime, any numbers whatsoever. Now, the film flows seamlessly from one topic to another, meaning that it's very easy to lose track of what section you're supposed to be in, but the information and ideas presented are conveyed smoothly throughout the entire project. So while you might not know when exactly the film transitioned from, say, culture to economics, you do grasp hold of the concepts very fluidly as it transitions from culture to economics and as it transitions through to various other sections. Now, the project is over 2 hours, and while the first hour is kind of slow, it is, unless you're in the culture, and I am, so I love the first hour. The second hour is where it really picks up steam, and as much as I liked the first hour and its focus on culture, even I have to admit that the second hour is where this thing really shines. It's where it really comes out. It becomes more upbeat. The conversation gets more direct on subjects that people need to talk about, but they're uncomfortable talking about. Even the music transitions well to account for and assist in the increasing excitement. You know, the second half of the film is focused more on direct action, on warfare and counter warfare. Narratives and ideas presented along the lines of land development, resistance, this idea of poverty is dug into more deeply, going into the middle of the first hour and the start of the second hour of the film. The idea of sovereignty is addressed, education, all of these things begin to be spoken to with more immediacy and directness in the second hour of the film. And for many, this is where the radical nature of the documentary really begins to showcase itself. And for many, this is when the film is going to become scary. I think most everybody will be able to tolerate and digest the first hour pretty quickly, pretty easily. The second hour is where you're going to begin to look at your soul and wonder what's there. The second hour is really going to be the hour where you begin to question a lot of the things you believe, question the sanity of the world we live in, and question the sanity of the people speaking in the film as well as the filmmaker that put it together. We got to be honest about that, because there are a lot of people that are going to get to the second hour and be like, what the hell is this? But that's there. But the second hour, the excitement, the mood, everything kind of picks up and turns over. So as we transition out of Black History Month, and for many people this will be the last time they seriously look at their history, we transition, and I know that by the time this comes out, it's not going to be Black History Month anymore. But as we transition out of Black History Month, we have to transition into a different way of looking at things. And there are so many different takeaways from this project that allow you to transition into a different way of looking at things. But the primary takeaway for me, and I'm not even going to address any of the other ones, because I feel like this one takeaway doesn't need to be surrounded or potentially shouted down or shouted out or crowded out by any other points that might be made that might resonate more strongly, because I think people really need to pay attention to this, especially those of us involved in the movement. The main takeaway for me from this film is what Professor Carl Tone Jones says often, that we are married to the struggle and not the solution. We aren't seriously trying to solve our problems. We're just trying to lessen their effects on our own personal daily lives. And for me, this is one of the primary reasons that the problem still exists, because we keep trying to treat symptoms. The film demands that you consider a world without those problems at all, which requires you deal with the root of the problem itself. And that requires a huge culture shift for a great many of those fighting within the struggle. The fact that we even call it the struggle showcases and signifies our relationship to our prolonged battle with white supremacy. That relationship is there because we can't see a world without white supremacy. And if you talk to a great many of us, we will openly tell you that white supremacy ain't going nowhere, so we might as well learn to live with it. This film, underneath all of that, the basic premise of its question forces you to consider what the world would look like if these problems were solved on a root level. That is a major culture shift that needs to happen, because we can't keep having people running around trying to lessen white people's hatred for us. We can't keep having people run around trying to make white people more tolerant by making us blend in better, by changing the way we do things, and spending all this energy focusing on the way they think. That doesn't help us. What helps us in the long run is something that you've heard me talk about frequently on this show: black progress. We're not talking about white progress, which is where the vast majority of the energy in our movement seem to be focused. Researching white people, studying white people, making plans to counteract white people. Everything that we do, even in this community, is extremely reactive to what white people have done, will do, or could do. And very little of it is proactive to what we have done, could do, or would do, or should do, or any of the other tenses of do's that we need to do. I'm sorry, I had a childish moment. Anyways, this film forces you to look at that concept and that fact. And even if you disagree with a lot of the things presented in the film, and look, shameless plug and announcement, Professor Carlton Jones is a part of this network. He's a good friend of mine, somebody that I consider a mentor in a lot of regards. I'm sorry, a Jegna in a lot of regards. You check the film out, you'll get the meaning behind that. And even though I was in the film myself, there were still things presented in the film that I disagreed with. And I appreciated those varying perspectives still being added in there. But I could still overlook all those sections to look at the basic fundamental premise of what this film is intended to do, in my opinion. And that is to get us to question a lot of the things that we do in our struggle, and to question the way we even look at the struggle itself. Because for me, for a long time, I've been pro-black, black only, black progress, dark worker. And I know all of those are jargon terms, but I've defined all of those terms at one point or another in this very series. So go back and listen. The shows are good anyway, so I don't understand why you wouldn't want to go back and listen. But for the vast majority of the movement, I'd say 90% of our energy is spent as a movement collective whole in the realm of white progress, focusing on white people being married to the struggle and not to the solution. So, all in all, I give this film a 4 out of 5 stars. Now, there is a lot to like in the documentary, and it is a documentary that we need more of. Things that force people to look forward and plan instead of looking back and crying. And I say that understanding full well the importance of history as a tool for shaping our future. Now, some of the things for me, and these are all, again, personal things for me, but it's, you know, my rating system, of course. So they're all going to be personal. You might agree, you might disagree. Check it out for yourself and let me know if you agree or disagree. But personally, I would have liked to see more numbers. Like, I love numbers. So I understand that, again, this is a personal gripe of mine. But for me, numbers help solidify where you are and visualize where you're trying to go. So statistics are huge for me, especially in documentaries like this one that are forward-facing. Because it's kind of hard, in my opinion, to see where you're at and plan adequately for the future when you can't see where you're at in terms of the numbers. They give a holistic picture, in my opinion. Now, I would also have liked to see more depth. A lot of the topics were skimmed over on a surface or superficial level. And I think a lot of this had to do with the fact that the film was trying to cover too much ground while keeping the runtime reasonable. But some topics were barely mentioned, even indirectly, such as like politics, law, or gender. So for me, it would have been better to make a longer film and just have people break it up into sections, or just focus this first film on a few topics that you could go into more depth with. Because the lack of depth in so many areas is another one of those things for me where it's hard to say that the primary question of the film was truly answered. Which the primary question was, what does a black community free of white supremacy look like? But when you skim over so many topics, it's hard to say that that question has truly been defined. So I would have liked to see more depth. Again, I understand the runtime restrictions, and I understand you want to cover as much ground as possible. But sometimes you got to chop stuff off so that you can dig deep and give people a thorough understanding of a particular area and then come back later. And this isn't to say that there aren't plans to do that. But when we're rating this film as a standalone item for what it brought to the table, I would have liked to see more depth. And the third issue that I had with it would simply be that it was easy to get lost. And this issue goes into a bunch of different directions. The first is, while the information was fluid and flowing overall, in a lot of places it just seemed duplicated and unnecessary. And you had a lot of people essentially saying the same thing in a lot of different places. So I understand that that could be used for dramatic effect or to hammer home a point. But for me personally, it happened a little bit too frequently. And there were also sections that seemed out of place. The opening sequence is talking about the FBI's Black Identity Extremist Report, which was also covered in an earlier show in this series. And you should go and check that out. As I said earlier, it's a great show. Why wouldn't you want to check out the earlier shows? But that fact is never openly stated or flashed across the screen until you get about 4 or 5 minutes into the film. It opens with brothers having a conversation about COINTELPRO that isn't really connected to the BIE report until, like I said earlier, about 4 or 5 minutes into the conversation. And for a lot of people, you're left wondering, did I miss something? Did I, like, what's going on here? Like, what are they talking about? And what does this have to do with anything? And that connection isn't really made, especially for those people who aren't familiar with the report, who aren't familiar with what's going on, who aren't familiar with the subject matter, even COINTELPRO. You're just kind of lost as a whole. So that was an area. And then there was another section where they were talking about the water drives for Flint, which it was relevant to the documentary as a whole, but it just seemed out of place with the flow of the film. So a lot of the things, information was relevant, but the placing of the information was kind of, you know, it was kind of hard to hold to what was going on and why this was here. You know, it's an unannounced change of direction that can be jolting. Like, when you're going 80 miles an hour in one direction and then all of a sudden somebody hit a left real quick, you're going to be rocked a little bit. And that's what happened in a couple different places in the film. And another component that made it easy to get lost is just the jargon. A lot of the terminology used might seem basic to those of us in the movement. And again, when I'm giving this reference, in terms of easy to get lost. I'm not talking about me personally. I'm talking about those people that aren't as familiar with the topics, the conversations, and the language as we are that are in the community. And a lot of people that I've watched this with have said we've had to, in some instances, stop and have a breakdown of what exactly they mean by these specific topics. So there was jargon in the film, a lot of terminology that seems basic but have different conceptual meanings for those that are within the community than those that are outside of it. And I'm talking, when I say community, I mean the pro-black community of people that are actually trying to do something to make a difference. So, and again, this is something that was brought to my attention because to me, the film looked fine in terms of jargon. I understood it all, but we have to be aware of the fact that a lot of the things that have become common knowledge and are common terms for us are not common knowledge and common terms for those that are outside of the community. And those that are outside of the community constitute 90 to 95% of black people. So we have to be aware of that. But all in all, I do consider this still to be a must-watch film. Professor Carl Tones Jones is a first-time filmmaker, and I'm pretty sure his projects are going to get better with time. This was a damn good showing, period. And when you add on the fact that it was his first time doing this, and he had to learn a whole lot about video editing, audio editing, and the entire process of filmmaking, that makes it even more monumental that what he churned out was on the level that this film is. So definitely much, much kudos to him. It is, again, a must-watch endeavor. Hopefully he will make it a series. That's what I'm hoping. That's what I'm rooting for. And that will allow him to go deeper into some of the lesser touched areas and maybe connect some dots that people weren't able to connect because of the speed of this film. But it was definitely a great film. Now, you can find the film, as always. There's going to be a link in this particular podcast post on the Freedom Train Network, www.freedomtrain.com. Click on the Lessons from the Screen area, and you will see this show. And click on that. There will be a link there. Or you could go to blackindependence.org, spelled just like it sounds, and you can get it from there. Or we're also selling it on with our sponsors, www.paxinc.org. Any proceeds that goes to this film are going to be going to the black community, no matter where you get it from. But if you get it from PAX Inc., a portion of the money generated by the sale of this film will go directly to PAX Inc. as well. So another shameless plug there and reason for you to get it. But it doesn't matter where you get it from. This brother deserves support. All of the money is going to go to the black community. Even the money that goes to him, trust me, I know Professor Carl Tone Jones, he puts a lot of his own personal money into the community. He really does. So show the brother some support. This film is definitely a much-watched film. I hope all you guys enjoyed your Black History Month, and you're going to continue your studies beyond Black History Month and make it a 365 thing, as it should be, especially for black people. And I will see you next week on the next episode of Lessons from the Screen.
Lessons from the Screen, what we mean is we go through different documentaries to tell you what they gon' do. Give you our lessons, give them our blessings. If they trash, we tell you there is no second guessing. Knowledge is power, but time is precious. And we're here to keep you from them lessons. So sit back as we groove, giving you the review, so you only spend time on the docs that you need to.